Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may hear your words with joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, our brother Rob Ryerson will be reading the scripture.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 138, verses 1 through 3, and from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. I will praise you, O Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. And then from Thessalonians, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Good morning. How are you guys? Wait, you know what? Let me sit here. So what? Wait a second. Operating difficulties. How are you guys today? Did everybody have a nice Thanksgiving? Mm-hmm. Okay. So you get to say, you get to talk in the mic today. What's one thing you're thankful for?
My family.
Okay. What are you thankful for?
Turkey.
Turkey, me too. What are you thankful for?
My birthday.
Is your birthday coming up soon?
January 4th.
All right, pretty soon. What are you thankful for?
My mommy.
Oh, how sweet. You know what? I'm thankful for all of those things too. And today when I was reading the scripture, actually last week when I read the scripture, it said be joyful and thankful always. Is it always easy to be thankful and joyful? I'm going to actually share a personal story with you. And it's a true story. So my dad is not well. And there are many days where I am sad because he's not well. And it's not easy. I'm going to tell you, think about sometimes when you're not sick or you're having trouble at school. Days can be kind of long. So sometimes I get down and I say, oh, Lord, I don't know what I can be thankful for. And then one day when I was going to my dad's house, I was particularly sad. And right in front of his house, there was this picture. And they can't see it, but what is this a picture of?
Outside.
Outside. What kind of outside? Well, Emily, you're very kind. Is this what your garden looks like outside?
No.
No, why? What's it full of?
Grass.
Do gardens have grass in them?
No.
And you know what we call...
What are they? It's a backyard.
It is. And unfortunately, a lot of different kinds of weeds. Do you know what weeds are?
Yeah.
Weeds are things that... Yes, you're supposed to pull them out.
Yeah, me and Pa... took them out once.
Yeah, maybe you could come to my house. So I was walking up my dad's driveway and I said, oh, this is a terrible day, God. Why? And I saw the weeds, but you know what else I saw? What's right in the middle of those weeds?
A flower.
So when I was really sad and I just thought I wanted to cry, God showed me a flower. And he said, when I saw that flower, he said, the Lord is with me. So every day, no matter how hard my life or your life gets, think about that flower that grows in the middle of the weeds, the tough times. Because God will give you a flower every day if you look for it. Be thankful always.
We saw those flowers.
Yeah, the
weeds. And we took them out.
Yeah, I know. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that we are supposed to be joyful and thankful always, and we try our best. But Lord, I thank you for those hidden blessings and gems that remind us that you are in control. Lord, when things are hard and we can't find something to be thankful for, help us to notice the flower among the weeds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Thank you, Cheryl, for your children's message and for being the liturgist this morning, and Rob for reading the scriptures. Makes my job easier. Saves my vocal cords. Thank you. Well, my name is Reverend Tim Dunn, and it's my privilege and pleasure to be here once again as the minister this morning while Pastor Christopher is on a needed holiday vacation. It's been my privilege and pleasure to serve 11 years now as a chaplain at the Christian Healthcare Center, hop, skip, and jump away from here in Wyckoff. Also, it's my privilege and pleasure to serve as an ordained minister of Word and Sacrament in the Reformed Church of America over 10 years now. Well, the message this morning is entitled On Being Thankful, On Being Thankful. And 'tis the season to be thankful, and we're approaching the season, 'tis the season to be busy. This past Thursday, we celebrated our national civic holiday of Thanksgiving, which was proclaimed on our current calendar by President Abraham Lincoln in the 1800s, but which has its roots in the Plymouth Bay Colony, now Massachusetts, where Pilgrim immigrants in the 1600s celebrated with Native American Indians after a necessary harvest after a difficult time. The Pilgrims celebrated the original Thanksgiving while struggling from malnutrition and illness after a difficult journey. They received necessary assistance from the Native Americans, an unexpected source which helped the Pilgrims in learning how to plant crops and hunt game in the world and actually survive that first winter. We spent this Thanksgiving feasting and celebrating with family and friends as our nation is still recovering from several tragic massacres. And our neighbors in the southern states and the Caribbean islands are recovering from the aftermath of the devastation and disruption of the hurricane season. A word synonymous with thankfulness that I'll be using is grateful or gratefulness. The American Heritage Dictionary defines grateful as being appreciative of benefits received, thankful, and expressing gratitude. A few Thanksgivings ago, and I recall it's around the last time I was here, many of us were thankful for relief from the inconvenience and uncomfortable of being without electricity and heat and waiting on long lines to obtain rationed gasoline for our vehicles after Hurricane Sandy. I also have some in-laws who lost their homes and were fortunate to not lose their lives in Sandy, but have had their homes repaired, or actually rebuilt. But most of us have returned to normal living, for which we are grateful and maybe even take for granted. That experience may help us to be sympathetic and generous toward those neighbors in the Caribbean and in the southern states who are still without sufficient water and power. And there are also those of us who are grateful for the lives of loved ones and for first responders who have saved lives in the southern states and the Caribbean. Since we celebrated Thanksgiving Day, we have a heightened awareness of gratitude and thankfulness, and also hopeful for people who may at this time of life be less fortunate than us. We're also grateful for things we may take for granted, whether it's heat, light, homes, the lives of our loved ones, religious freedom to congregate as we are today, and for those who, as I mentioned, first responders who risk their lives to save others during these disasters. Well, let us look a little bit more closely what the scripture says about thanksgiving or gratefulness, and also look at several ways that we are thankful or grateful. First of all, Thanksgiving is a part of Judeo-Christian worship throughout the year. If you make a simple observation of the Psalms that have been read today or other Psalms, you will see that the word praise and thanksgiving are often interchangeable. This is a Hebrew grammatical phenomenon called parallelism, where one verse may use the word praise, the next will use thanksgiving. So this is something that as Christians we should do that is not limited to once a year, that is to give thanks. It is in our Jewish Christian heritage of worship. It's an element that is consistently in our scripture. It also can be a practice. It can be something that we can do throughout the year that has benefits, also besides showing our appreciation. Recent neuroscience research has verified the health benefits of this ancient practice of being thankful. That by being thankful regularly throughout the year or grateful, it actually hardwires neural paths in our brain. It actually changed the very structure of the neurochemical impulses in our brain that is beneficial with us. Just think about it this. Being thankful throughout the year is an attitude, and that's much different than being complaining and grumbling all year round, which is also going to contribute to us having a negative attitude and a negative perspective toward life. Important practice. It's also interesting, it's a growing practice. You may know that historically America is the first nation to have a civic holiday of Thanksgiving. Our Canadian neighbors have one too. But this Thanksgiving, we were entertaining an Englishman who lives in the Turks and Caicos, and he informed me that our Black Friday now in the Turks and Caicos is a day of Thanksgiving. So the concept is spreading a little bit more than here just in our nation. But it is a practice. There were many festivals, harvest festivals, in various countries and in the Hebrew scriptures. Shows that it's important to proclaim and have a time of giving thanks. So we have roots and precedents. We have science now telling us it is beneficial. And so let's look a little bit more closer at what we may be thankful for or circumstances that we are called to be thankful in. As Rob wrote and read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Well, one of the main things is to be thankful for God's goodness and love, and which is expressed in the gift of life, the grace of living, or as our Jewish friends would say, l'chaim, to life. Life itself is a gift. It is a sacred gift. It is a mystery. Life is not a problem to be solved. Life is a mystery to be lived and enjoyed. Life is often taken granted until a loved one dies or unless we have a close call with death ourselves. I myself had one 4 years ago on October 4th. I was driving on the New York Thruway. I had my cruise control on 65, which was the legal speed limit. It was a beautiful October day. Air conditioning wasn't functioning the way it ought to. And so I rolled the windows down and just got on the highway around Kingston after I had lunch with a reform minister up in the area. And I noticed in my side view mirror a burgundy car that was coming very close to my car as I was doing 65. And I realized that this car was not coming close to me. I realized this car was going to hit me. So as I swerved to get away from the car hit me enough to send me down into a gully. I was braking, but at this point, not looking at the speedometer, but making sure I was not going to hit any objects. I was very fortunate. If I had this accident a half a mile in either direction, I would have hit boulders, trees, dividers. But fortunately, my car went down into an open area. When the car turned around, I was heading south before I was struck. The car turned around on grass and started heading north, and I had a sigh of relief. But then the car started rolling over. And when the car rolled over, I realized this was very serious, and I exclaimed Jesus out loud. And the next thought or prayer, if you would say, was this: God, not this way, not this time, as I thought of my family. Well, as the car stopped, the car began to roll into a stream. I dove out through the partially open window. I wasn't aware that I broke the window and was bleeding. I walked up the top of the hill, and I did something I haven't done since I was a child, and that was I pinched myself. I did not know literally if I was dead or alive until people started coming by and asking how I was doing. When I got up at the top of the hill, a gentleman by the name of Jimmy McGuire greeted me, and he had a New Jersey t-shirt about Sandy on, and he said, I'm a retired EMT fireman. After 35 years, I'm Good Sam. I'm here to help you. Well, to me, it was like an angel in disguise. And after he checked my mental status, asked me where I was, what day, etc., he says to me, buddy, somebody is looking over you. And I said, Jimmy, I believe that, thank you. And I joked, and I said, I'm going to get a few sermons out of this. And so Jimmy said to me, I said I was going to get a sermon out. He said, no, you're not going to get a few sermons out of it. A sermon, you're going to get a few sermons. In circumstances beyond my control, a week later, this happened on a Friday, I was standing in front of 100 EMT fire workers saying a blessing over a meal because the chaplain that was to be there was delayed in a wedding. And I basically told them, you're not here to hear a message, but I want to tell you guys rough what happened to me, and I really appreciate your services. And all night long, I heard guys coming up to me and saying, buddy, you're either lucky or somebody was watching over you. So one of the things that I realized in this event was not only how precious life is, but I also realized how precious water is, because when I got to the emergency room, and I was medically cleared in a half an hour, it took longer for me to wait for my brother to get me. I had some minor cuts and bruises. I had no stitches, no broken bones, no concussion. So I guess that's my one miracle for life, you know, besides the other ones that we may take for granted. But that water that I had, it wasn't bottled spring water. It came out of the tap in Poughkeepsie in the emergency room. Tasted so good. It just tasted so good. So the reason why I'm bringing this is because it's times like that we really appreciate life that we take for granted. We take for granted water until a situation like that, or I'm sure many of our neighbors down in Puerto Rico and elsewhere are appreciating now as they hope and strive to get some water. So let's look at a few other times that we may or be thankful, or circumstances that may be easier not to give thanks. First thing is, people are things that we obviously appreciate. The newlyweds who appreciate each other, the job you get when you are between jobs, etc. Those things that we become obviously appreciative of. Secondary, as I mentioned already, those circumstances and things that we take for granted, which we forget to be thankful for. Water, heat, food. And we could add others. Maybe people we take for granted. Until temporarily or permanently we lose any of these. The third one, which may be the most difficult, is being thankful during difficult times. Those difficult times and circumstances to be thankful for during. those that are come under what I call, even though I walk through the valley of shadow of death events, as I describe mine. As I was preparing this sermon the other day, the phone rang, and my wife was on the other end, and she says, I just had a fender bender. And right away, I think for a minute, oh God, why now? Then I thought about it, and I said, it's not an accident like you were in. Your wife is not harmed. Your car hasn't been totaled like last time. And so I gave thanks for that. But I think that's just our human response, that many times things happen, circumstances that immediately we think of complaining or why it happened to me or them, rather than how do I give thanks, not always for the event. I don't think God invites us or requires us to give thanks for tragedies. But God calls us to be thankful in tragedies and in difficult circumstances, however we can. That word in is very different than for. Okay. So difficult times to give thanks. And we may not be able to give thanks immediately. It may take a while to be thankful that maybe God got us through the situation. So we are called to be thankful not for all circumstances, but in all circumstances. Let us be mindful what the scripture says. We are called to give thanks. It is part of our worship. It is integrated into our worship. The words praise and thankfulness and rejoice many times in the Psalms and elsewhere are interchangeable. So we are called to be thankful not one day a year or not after a given event that is so obvious, the Christmas present I always wished for, you know, etc. But to be thankful throughout the year. It is in our tradition, our Judeo-Christian tradition. Also, neuroscience is telling us that being thankful as a practice can literally change the neurochemistry in our brains and cause us to be more appreciative, cause us to be more positive, more optimistic, etc., probably more pleasant to be with. Just think about this yourself. Who do you rather be with, the person that thanks you when you've done something or the person that forgets thankfulness and just complains all the time? Okay. And we're humans. This is a practice. We don't get this perfectly. We're all human beings. Let us remember and practice Paul's admonition and the examples we have in Psalms throughout the year. And as Paul wrote, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. O God, we give praise and thanksgiving to you for who you are, a God who is loving and caring and gracious, and beyond all that we can imagine or think about how you are. We thank you, you have called us to be your people. And in calling us to be your people, you call us to be thankful, to be a people who are not complaining and grumbling, but who are joyful and thankful. God, we give thanks to you with a grateful heart. God, we think as the first song we sang today, Praise Ye the Lord, that talks about the blessings that you ordain. Help us, O God, to be mindful of all the benefits and blessings you have given us as citizens in your kingdom and also as citizens in this great country. O God, we give thanks to you for each and everyone who is here this day. Open our hearts to appreciate the life you have given us, the call to which we are called. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Let us affirm together our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, printed in bold print in the bulletin or also appearing on the screens above us. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. Third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.